The following opinions expressed within the content are solely the speakers
and do not reflect the opinions and beliefs of Child Free Media Limited or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Accidental Parenthood Podcast. My name is Lenora, and I decided to interview my brother Evan about his experience as a teen dad to now being a 30-something single father of two. We go deep into the challenges of unexpected parenthood with some humor and sibling banter. Hey, so this is our rock bottom episode where you talk about the worst points of your parenting
the
journey so far.
The lowest point of my life.
So where we left off, you started having man meetings with your children. You're still living under the same roof with your...
Everybody's living together.
Everyone's living together, but things are starting to unravel.
In a sense, yes.
So what, without getting into specifics... What was happening? What was coming up for you? Maybe talk a little bit more about you were on medication or you'd gone to therapy or what was happening?
At this point, I wasn't yet. But again, that loss of control, I was starting to feel like I had no control in anything in my life.
Okay.
I think it was, and again, we had a lot of, you know, third parties involved and stuff.
Right. As far as family members.
With family members, You know, people living with us. That didn't help. Again, I hadn't yet worked on myself. There's a lot of stuff that I needed to do still.
Yeah. So at this point, what did you want from your home life that you weren't getting?
I just wanted the four of us to be happy together.
And just the four of you living together.
There was one extra person at this point, which I didn't want in the household, basically. It was more so a roommate type situation, pay the rent, which didn't go that way.
Right.
Anyways, at this point, I just wanted the four of us, you know, not to be bothered, just to coexist.
Be a family.
However that was.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think too much had gone, so I really wasn't happy with that either at this point.
Too much
had gone on in prior.
So
I was already past...
All of your issues were...
All my issues were starting to come to the surface.
Okay.
And nothing that we would have changed would have really probably made me happy at this point.
Okay.
So there was no coming, there was no making me happy at this point.
Like ordering a pizza and having a movie night wasn't going to fix your problems. Okay.
So, but yeah, eventually, you know, came out that I had depression and anxiety.
So did you go see somebody?
I went to a doctor. Yeah,
okay.
And I told her what I was dealing. Because I was like, there was a lot of anger. I was really angry all the time.
What made you go seek help at that point? Like, where, you were what,
28, 27? 28, actually, no, I was 29, I believe.
Okay.
And I didn't like how I was. I was snapping at the kids a lot. I was really angry. I was getting irritated really easily. I'm like, this is not me. This is not healthy.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm taking out the boys and stuff. It's not their fault, but that's just how it is. I'm sure a lot of people can relate with that.
Yeah.
When you bottle stuff up for so long.
And you don't like how you feel.
I don't like who I am, the person I am right now.
Yeah.
So, I went to the doctor and I sat down. We discussed things. You know, I filled out some forms. And, you know, she diagnosed me with mild depression and anxiety. You know, suggested a medication. So, I took it. I'm like, I'm going to fight this.
Okay.
This is how I am right now. I'm going to fight it.
Yeah.
And so I did. I went on medication, and I was only on it for a few months, but it cleared my head, and I'm like, okay, I'm on medication now. Basically, I feel like I'm at rock bottom. This whole situation I'm in can't continue. Something has to change for me. I don't want to be on this medication, but I have to change stuff in my life to get off this medication.
Right. And at this point, you had had 10 years of...
10 plus years,
of living this way.
Yeah, not so much the living situation, but just the feelings and emotions.
Okay, so 10 years you've been dealing with these feelings, really?
All these emotions and feelings that have just eventually took a toll on me.
Yeah, okay.
And being on medication was the last straw. I was like, okay, it's got to this point. This is not a good place to be. Mm-hmm. I can't be here anymore. I have to change something.
Yeah.
I had to end certain relationships and stuff.
Okay, so let's get specific. So you had to end the partnership you had with the mom.
That was one of it, yeah. But that didn't fix, that wasn't the main problem. It was the external stuff that was happening, external people that were in the lives.
Okay.
I had to get away from that.
So you had to remove a lot of people from your life, essentially.
Absolutely. And that, of course, entailed me to have to move, leave, change living situations. Because nothing would change unless I made a decision.
Right.
And so I had to leave. You know, I didn't want to put my oldest, especially because he had been there a few times where it was come and go.
Right. And you would talk to your kids beforehand.
I had talked to both boys beforehand, kind of prematurely, but it just came out. I was at the point where I couldn't contain it.
Right. Okay.
So I talked to them, we all, you know, eventually after one big family discussion.
Yeah.
About things changing. And then, but yeah, once I got out, I got my own place. I felt great.
So there is, how long was it from the time that you guys had the family meeting that things were going to change to the time that you moved out and got your own place, which was still in the same town, by the way, right?
Oh, yeah. You guys were, not that far as I wanted to stay there for the boys.
Yeah.
Because we had moved so many times in the last 10 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't want these boys to keep up. I don't want to keep up.
Uprooting them.
You know, right. They got friends here. They go to school here. Yeah. Let's just keep it there.
They're at the age now where it's kind of important to establish something.
Keep it consistent for them. Yeah. Keep changing. It's not fair to them. So I stayed in town.
So what was, let's talk about that for a second. So this was going to be the first time that you lived, have your own place where you get to pick something.
So the first time, I had my own place. I'd never had that because after school life, living at home, I moved in with you.
That's right.
I was back and forth with mom and son and dad. And there's a lot of places, but never by myself.
Right. You always had somebody.
So this is the first time.
So what was that like for you? Because new experience, you searching for a new place. So you're still in your house, your family house, but now you are looking for your own place. I think it was pretty fast, right?
Like, it didn't take too long, actually. I lucked out.
How did you feel? Let's talk about how you felt, because we need to have some uplifting.
There was definitely excitement.
Okay.
You know, I was financially, I was in a good place at this point. And I was able to do that, so I had some options.
Right.
And just finding a place that worked. The place I'm at now, been there for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was interesting, you know, another learning experience. But at the same time, I was excited because I'm like, this is a new chapter.
Right.
This is a step I'm taking towards becoming better.
Right.
That was a big thing. So I want to get better here.
Right. So personally, in order for you to do that, it meant leaving the house that currently existed with all of the toxic energy that it had.
Yeah.
It was occurring. And it was time for something that was yours. And
I just needed that, but I needed that space. I had to get away from all that energy that was essentially bringing me down.
Yeah.
I needed a place to myself to work on myself,
mm-hmm.
more, you know, for me and the boys.
Yeah.
Because I want to be a dad, but I could function properly.
Yeah.
Without, but I have to work on myself first.
Yeah.
So right now I'm the priority here.
Yeah.
And which we always are.
So, in that, when you came to that realization, we're like, okay, I have to leave. And you had to make that decision to make yourself the priority. In that moment, did you feel guilty? Was it just at that point, like, no, I have to do it?
At this point, no, because the medication was...
Oh, it cleared you.
The medication was clearing me of all emotion. I was making intellectual decisions.
Okay.
Not emotional decisions, and which I believe a lot of people mess their lives up by making emotional decisions.
Oh, okay.
You got to think about things first.
Right.
So now this medication, which was great, it cleared my head. It made me focus on what I had to do, regardless of how it made other people feel. I had to do this.
Right.
Because this is my health we're talking about. Right. I cherish my health.
Yes.
So I want to make sure I get better.
Right. Because it's someone who may be in this situation right now who knows deep down that the best thing is to, let's say, leave the family home, go nearby so that you can be a functioning part of that family, but not necessarily under that roof. That's not an easy decision.
Oh, no, it's not.
Especially when you have young kids, and there is that feeling for the partner, but it's just... You've gone 10 years trying to piece it all together and it hasn't been working.
Well, there's all the other stuff too, especially when you've combined things with each other, especially if you're married
or whatnot. Yeah.
There's all that stuff you know, separation, and all that stuff you got to deal with.
And there's that stigma either from family, friends. I don't think you felt this so much stigma from your social circle. Everyone was probably pretty supportive of what
you're doing.
No, everybody
was supporting me.
But a lot of times there is that feeling, whether it's from church group or from family, it's like, oh, well, you should just make it work.
Oh, I know.
Make it work.
Yeah.
You got kids involved. Make it work. Do whatever, right?
And we know so many people like that.
We do.
Who are miserable.
Yes.
And they're like, they're depressed.
Exactly.
And honestly, it's like, if you're feeling guilty, you know, if you feel you can't leave, like, you always have a choice. You do.
Yeah, you do.
It's sad that you give in to peer pressure, mm-hmm. basically, regardless if it's, you know, family, beliefs, yeah. religion, whatever, yeah. that stuff. Like, you gotta, that stuff's all...
It's great, and some of it has its place, but...
If it's affecting your mental health, it's not good for you.
It is. We've had the conversation about being genuine. We were talking earlier offline how we would both rather feel genuine hate from somebody than a fake love.
Absolutely.
And in this situation of, like, co-parenting and raising kids and stuff, of course, it's not fun or easy for anyone. It seems like the family is dismantling. Because I remember when you told me what was going to happen, and I was having the boys shortly after, like, they were going to come stay with me, and you told me that I could talk to them about what was happening, or just casually bring it up in case they wanted to say something.
Yeah.
And your oldest... The conversation came up. I was driving the kids back to my place. The conversation came up between me and nephew number one, and I asked him, I said, well, how do you feel about that? And he had said that, you know, dad had moved to another house. And he had said how he felt, and it was just kind of wish it didn't happen, but he was okay. He was feeling okay. I said, and you know what? I said, your parents are going to be happier, probably. And I said, really? That's good, because you'll see happy mom and happy dad.
Well, yeah, like, yeah,
you
what's...
Know? And he smiled at that.
You know, I didn't want my kids seeing me upset all the time.
Right. Because
then they'll just remember me as that.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not who I am.
And then they associate with that as, okay, if I get married or whatever, I'm going to feel this way because all I ever saw was mom and dad together.
Yeah, so you kind of reciprocate what they've seen before.
Exactly.
So
yes.
I didn't want that.
Right.
I think if persons in that situation, like, do you want your, you ask yourself, do you want your kids to have a really an angry mom and dad living together?
Yeah, just for the sake of appearances, almost.
Or for sake of you.
Like,
because they're scared. Oh, we're going to keep the kids. Like, well, no. You got to put yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, if parents are separated but they're both happy, why would you not want that? Yeah, it's a bit more, kind of complicates a few things, but I mean, like, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
A lot of people have that, I think, are if they're married people or whatever who are like, in unhappy relationships, they are worried, like, oh, what about the kids and stuff? Like, you know what? The kids will be okay.
Yeah.
For the most part. Like, just talk to them. Talk to them if they're of age that they can comprehend.
Yeah.
Just be honest with them. That's all I can say.
Did your kids ever ask you specifically about anything during that time? You were saying why you were going to a new house. But have they ever asked you anything?
No, they never asked me, really.
Okay.
I just made sure they kind of understood the situation a bit.
Right.
Not without going into specific details.
But
I wanted them to know, like, this is what's happening. You know, it's not because of you. Made sure this is not because of you guys. Because, you know, some kids might take that to heart.
Right.
But, no. That's why the communication thing for me was big.
Mm-hmm.
Before anything happened, I wanted to know.
Yeah.
So I had a feeling that there might be something happening. So that's how I felt.
Right, yeah.
But I was being proactive in a sense. Just like, hey, yeah, let's start this meeting stuff now so mm-hmm. I can communicate with them.
Yeah.
And go from there. And, you know, it worked out. Seemed to work out.
Right.
Now they live with me and we don't talk anymore. So it works out just fine.
Everything worked out in the end. That's good for that part of the topic. Let's talk about... You setting up your first home base ever, finally. So this was
Woo-hoo!
2016.
Party time.
And so you found a place.
Yeah.
And I remember you texted me
clean.
A lot.
Yeah, I remember that too. That was years
you
ago.
Texted me a lot because this was the first time in your life that you had lived on your own in a place that you got to decorate.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
It was fun.
And I was like, been there, done that. No. But I was happy for you because you were finally... So how did you feel? You move in and you have this... This is your home space now.
Well, I can tell you the audience right now, I stopped taking the medication when I moved in because I didn't need to anymore.
Like right away?
Oh, yeah. I think I minimized it, but I kept forgetting. Never good at medication. I keep forgetting to take it regularly. After leaving, there's no need for to take it because I didn't have any. The problems that were bothering me were not longer there. So I had moved myself, and that was the whole point.
Right.
So I stopped the medication, and I felt great.
Yeah.
And it was just the fact that, yeah, I had this place to myself. I had some control now. Right. And now I could focus on rebuilding myself, basically.
Right.
Getting back to who I used to be.
Yeah.
You know, growing as a person without having all this distraction.
So what was it? What was it like those first few months?
I got a lot of sleep. You know, luckily the place I picked was like just literally a block from the school. So I saw the boys literally almost every day. They stopped by after school. They each had their own rooms, and you know, I may have gotten a few toys for them to play with.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
So they definitely liked coming over.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was great. You know, I'd see them, you know, and then it, they'd come hang out after school. Mom would pick them up after work and whatnot. And yeah, for me, it was at about a solid 5 months of almost freedom.
We'll focus on those 5 months.
It was a lot of self-care at that point. You know, I started eating better. I started exercising more because I had more space.
Was there a lot of emotion, like internal stuff got to let out? Like,
You know, I had a picture of the four of us on my fridge.
Okay.
You know, me, mom, and the two boys.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is my family. Yes, you know, we're not like that. You know, we're not together,
right?
But this is my family. I'll take care of my family,
right?
Regardless,
yeah.
And it's the only family I'm gonna have.
Okay.
Like, I'm not gonna have kids anymore. I dealt with that.
You got your vasectomy.
Yes, and but I was like, you know, yeah. There's a lot of emotions going through all that. You know,
I remember you called me every day for a while because you're like, well, you're by yourself, and
There's like, I was very happy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is what I need. This is probably what I should have been doing right out of high school.
Right.
Like, this is what I missed.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was good. I enjoyed every second. And I'm not saying, you know, I was shunning my responsibilities. No.
Well, they were still there.
They're at school throughout the day. They had a place to come. They had two places to go. They had a place to come.
Yeah.
They knew they had a key. They could come here anytime.
Yeah.
And it was literally a block away from the school. So yeah, they were over every day. I'd see them all the time.
Yeah.
That was fine. But yeah, for me personally, yeah, I was in a much better place. And this is like, hey, and now I'm rebuilding. I'm restarting that whole year. That was 2017.
Started the new year by yourself in your own place. Yeah.
It was just that having that personal space was the best thing ever.
Did you start to see a future for yourself? Like, did you start to feel any sort of inspiration to do something else with your life, or to see what can I do with my life? Like, who am I? What's possible for me? Were you at that point yet?
There is a few thoughts, but I my biggest goal was just basically regaining, you know, my confidence and self-esteem and stuff, just because I had lost all that for years because of situations. And that, like I said, that year I needed to rebuild myself.
Okay.
So then I could be more confident in pursuing things.
Right.
So that was, that whole year was, rebuilding.
Yeah.
And establishing myself again.
So you had five months before your boys officially decided, we're going to live with Dad. So, and we'll talk about that transition in the next episode. But what was the biggest lesson or biggest thing that you discovered about yourself that you maybe never knew about yourself in that five months?
I didn't need to depend on anybody. I relied on myself to do everything.
Right. And how did you feel?
And I felt great. So I'm like, let a lot of other people make decisions for me.
Right.
Throughout the years.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I didn't have to, but I allowed it to. Then I just got reliant on other people.
So it kind of became the assumption that you needed somebody.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Until I didn't.
Right.
And I realized, I depend on myself. I can do everything myself. You just have to put your mind to it.
Yeah.
And here I am. I'm like, wow, I don't really require that person or a person anymore to help me figure stuff out or whatnot. Right. Like, I'm capable of doing it myself. And that was a huge lesson for me.
And how did you feel you enjoyed being by yourself? And prior to that, you had said that you needed a shoulder to lean on or a listening ear. Were you feeling like you needed emotional support from somebody else at any point? Or was it just new freedom where you felt, I'm okay, I can be my own emotional support system right now?
That part came later. I still, like you said, I was calling you all the time. Yeah. So, yeah, I had people I could call and talk to.
Right.
And I had more freedom to talk because I was alone.
Yeah.
You know.
No listening ears.
Yeah. So I wasn't ready for my own emotional support at that point.
I mean like another person?
Sure, I would have definitely accepted.
Right.
If there were any offers out there.
But you weren't pursuing another relationship.
No, I was just, I got to get myself better first.
Yeah.
So that's, I was focusing on me. I had a good support system, people I could talk to at that point and whatnot. And it was a great experience in that regard.
Yeah. And I do remember one time dropping, when the kids had stayed over at my place, I dropped them back off. And we were stopping at your place, and they were excited to go to your house. And I remember the vibe, because I'd been to all the houses you'd lived in. And, you know, I mean, you had lived in technically nicer houses, but the vibe in this place was nice.
Yeah.
Like, you weren't cutting tension with a knife walking into this house.
Yeah, this
was... And I know the kids felt that, because it was just, like, free and easy in Dad's place, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's what I wanted. That was the vibe I wanted to have. I was like, I was getting tired of, very tense living areas. I hate it. It was exhausting, and it wasn't healthy.
I've always been an advocate for a home life where you don't feel judged and you don't feel like you have to censor yourself. Like, you can feel however you need to feel. And of course, when you're younger, that's not always possible because it's hard to support yourself depending on where you live. But
you might not even realize it either at that point when you're younger.
Exactly. Because you're just,
you're not thinking like
that. No, 20s, there's so much happening in your 20s and it's kind of erratic. And of course, the expectation is, okay, well, go to school and then settle down and start a family and blah, 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 blah. And you might realize, I didn't realize how much of an introvert I was until I was 30, over 30, when I was like, I don't want to hang out in groups anymore. I don't want to go to parties anymore. And I'm always chatty, so I just thought I loved being around people. Well, it turns out I've never enjoyed being around lots of people because I get exhausted. It wasn't until in my 30s that I was like, oh, I need a lot of alone time.
And I'm the opposite. I was like, I didn't realize how much of an extrovert I was until I turned 30. Now I'm like, I like being around people and stuff.
So you get your energy from people, from being around people.
Oh, totally. I can create my own energy too, but I can get energy, and a lot of it at times was like negative, so it just shut you down.
Right.
And that's actually, I'm really attracted to good energy when I feel it. I want to be near it.
Yeah. And for me, I'm all about personal space. I saw this analogy and it totally describes me. I'm like a wind up toy when I'm in public. I am on, I am big, I'm bold, I'm blah, blah, blah. And then I get home and I'm exhausted. I don't want anybody talking to me. I want nobody touching me. No one looking at me, which is why I live alone. I don't have pets. And I have plants that can die. Like, it's just, I need nothing that needs me. Right? And that's how I am and that's what I need. But I wasn't able to identify that until my 30s. And then at the point I was living with someone, I was like, I felt that I need to live on my own. And it was hard to untangle myself from that relationship because it made me cry. Because I thought, well, I do care about this person. We have fun, but I need to live alone.
Yeah.
And I fantasize about living alone. And I'm happy not to date anybody. Like, if I had to end the relationship, and it evolved into something else that was better suited for me. But I recognize that I need to be by myself. And I, like, to live alone. It's fantastic. And I mean, I live in this place, which is normally family size. But I don't want to share it with anybody on a day-to-day basis. Like, sure, I'll have companionship when I want it. But ultimately, this is my space. And that I never would have... I loved living alone because I had my own place and then you moved in. So in my 20s, I lived by myself. But I've had so many different experiences living with people and whatnot since. And I go, no, I need to be by myself. And I always find that we don't really know. We can't forecast what we need in our 20s. It's almost impossible because there's the expectation of what we should do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, go to college or go to school. Or in some parts, it's not even that, especially if you're a woman. It's like, find someone to marry and settle down and have kids in your 20s. So then...
Don't
so
do
then,
that.
So after you have 5 kids, you can travel afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Good luck.
So it depends on where you are, but and most of the people that I knew, that was their biggest goal.
Yeah.
Women specifically was, absolutely, you know, yeah, get married, find somebody, whatever. And that was never my, never something appealing or attractive to me. I'm glad you made it to 30. And I always tell people, you know what, whatever your situation is, get to 30 years old. Because that's when something switches on your brain and you're like, a lot of bullshit falls away. You get more confident,
yeah,
within yourself to make decisions for yourself. And you have generally more resources to focus on yourself. And then you're not so scared to say, look, I need this.
I would hope not. I think I would hope by that point you're at least bold enough to like, I know what I want now.
Yeah. And you start to be able to vocalize it. Because as we get older, we are able to say what we need.
Well, yeah, because you, like, you get tired of like putting up with bullshit.
You do. Yes. And if you aren't tired of putting up with bullshit, you need to start getting tired of putting up with bullshit.
Yeah,
because,
yeah,
because the thing is, you have to go through that uncomfortable period. Because I know for you, leaving your family home, that was not easy. That was not comfortable. But once you're like, oh, I'm in this new place. And then, like, your life opened up in so many different ways.
Oh, yeah.
Now, like you said, and we'll get to that in the next episode, is that you have your boys full time. And the house is no longer as clean as it was.
Oh, not even close.
You have been listening to the Accidental Parenthood Podcast. If you would like to get in touch with us or share your own story, please email us at accidentalparenthood@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, which is accidentalparenthood.com. If you've enjoyed listening to this episode, be sure to rate and review our podcast wherever you listen. And be sure to subscribe for future episodes. Thank you for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this episode presented by Child Free Media Limited.
To stay current with child-free content like this, please visit childfreemedia.com and subscribe to the newsletter.